You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And so Caleb Williams met with reporters on Friday at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And I got to be honest with you, I was impressed. I thought that he was really good. And I know some people will be like, well, he was coached. He's probably like, yeah, well, that's even better. That's exactly what you want. You know, if you think about this, if he was prepped and he was coached, he's taking coaching. That's a great indication right there. Yes, you do want him to go out there and have command of whatever he's doing, whether it's a huddle, whether it's a press conference. And I think for the quarterback position, you do want a player who can be engaging and can sit there and, be the face of your franchise. We even saw it too. Like, you don't have to be as loquacious as George Clooney or something like that. You don't have to be that kind of personality, but still, you got to be able to command a room. And even when Tom Brady was doing press conferences for the New England Patriots and having to talk and the Patriots speak, he's still an engaging figure. Justin Fields, engaging figure. Like, these guys have it, and it is a quality that is needed for quarterbacks. Sometimes at some of the other positions, you can get away with not being that guy, but for the quarterback position, you definitely have to have some sort of charisma, just because you have to know what we see is the same thing that the teammates see were in the huddle. So if you have a guy who's out there who feels very comfortable being addressed by multiple people in the room, including Greg Braggs, a friend of the program, who hopefully can join us here today. Well, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I feel a little bit better about him. But you know what? Again, and I feel like I always have to say this as a Justin Fields, like, I still support Justin Fields. We'll get into this. Sammy, let's just go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown!
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
Everybody, welcome to the weekend edition of the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank. So thankful that you could be joining us here today. A lot of news to go over. The scouting combine continues to go on in Indianapolis. We're recording this on Friday, the day that Caleb Williams talked to the media. And of course, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Greg Braggs, hopefully he can join us. We're trying to track him down. He's a very busy man, very busy individual. You heard his voice asking questions during the combine, and I would tell him this if he ends up sitting with us. And if we don't catch him tonight, we'll catch up with him next week. It looks like we're just trying to track him down, but we're working on that. If I mention that we're working on that, that means I have a good feeling about it. So it's not, otherwise I would just pretend that we weren't, and if he popped in and surprised us, that would be great. But the thing of it was, is that it was a very good presentation by him. And what I was getting at before we did during the cold open is that I still love Justin Fields, and I still think Justin Fields could be very successful with the Chicago Bears. If that's the course that they pick, I'm very happy with that. But I do feel a little bit off, because a lot of times when we have these discussions, when you support, like, you always have to kind of like, I don't think that this needs to be said, but I'm going to support whomever the quarterback is for the Chicago Bears next season, unless it's Drake May. No, I'm kidding. But whomever the quarterback is next season, we are going to support them. And I feel like people who are in the pro Justin Fields camp, I think of myself, I think of our internet friend, EJ, our real, the real one, Ill Will. you know, even Will Brooks is who I was trying to think of, but guys who are like supporting Justin Fields, we still support the Chicago Bears. We just feel like, hey, you know, like we would stick with Fields, but that's okay. But I also have to be realistic. And the news that you're starting to get out of the combine, it almost feels like a fait accompli. Like it feels automatic. And it feels like Justin Fields has already been traded. And it feels like Justin Williams is already the presumptive pick. And we talk about team building. And that is one of the things that, you know, I mentioned this earlier this week on Tuesday, was that you are giving up a lot of potential draft capital when you're dealing with, when you're drafting Caleb Williams. Listening to him speak on Friday made me feel a little bit better about that. Because again, like I love Justin Fields and make no mistake about that. But I, again, as a practical person who is watching this unfold, unless the Bears are playing the greatest troll job, getting like multiple picks for decades from franchises around the league, it really does feel like it's Caleb Williams at this point. We could be mistaken. We could even, again, they could do the thing where they like trade down a spot and take Jaden Daniels or somebody like that. But for right now, it feels like Caleb Williams is that dude. And as a matter of fact, our friends at Pro Football Talk tweeted this out earlier today. Sam, if we got that, I'd love to go. Yeah. So Pro Football Talk, this is, of course, Michael Florio. We just spent 10 minutes with Caleb Williams. Condolences to the Vikings, Lions, and Packers. This guy is the real deal, and the Bears will have their first franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman. And this was at 9:52 a.m. in the morning, already had a million views. Who knows what it is now if you went out and found that on the Pro Football Talk feed. It's probably in the 2 million at least. It is an interesting thing. There is something about it. And again, we talk about generational quarterbacks. He looks like the tape is really good. I had even tweeted this out too. Like, hey, I liked what I saw from Caleb Williams at the combine. And somebody was like, well, the tape's good too. Yeah, the tape's excellent. And everybody who is sitting here trying to break down the good things or the bad things about Caleb Williams' game, you know, I've talked to Daniel Jeremiah. I've talked to Chase Daniel, and I've talked to other people who break down quarterback film, and they are very excited about what Caleb Williams brings to the table. And one of the big things, and you hear this a lot, is that Caleb Williams, and I know he gets compared to Patrick Mahomes an awful lot, but one of the things is the knock against Patrick Mahomes as they started going through the evaluation process was, hey, you know what? It was too much hero ball. When he was down there playing in Lubbock, and we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, there was a lot of instances where Patrick Mahomes was great. The supporting cast, maybe not so as much. And so you had to go and look around and see, you know, what he was doing. And I think that a lot of that translated to Caleb Williams. And the fact of the matter is the USC program, despite being one of the blue bloods of college football, is one of the blue bloods of college football. And by the way, it is the email that you have, Sammy, is the one that should be for Braggs. And I think he's still waiting for it. So if you can resend it, I'm just doing this real time. Just to let you know, pulling back the curtain. This is the inner workings of what's going on. USC is still having to play a lot of hero ball. I don't think that program is really recovered from Clay Helton. It's hard to understand how much the USC program went, how much of a loss the USC program really faced having Clay Helton as their head coach. And Lincoln Riley is now in what, his third, fourth year, whatever it is. It is going to take a little bit of time for him to get back up there. And it'll be difficult without Caleb Williams. What we saw last year, the guy who came in and replaced him the quarterback who replaced Caleb Williams went out there and played really well. And that was one of the, like, look at this guy. I'm like, yeah, they were playing some mid-card team in the Holiday Bowl. That really isn't a fair comparison. So I think if Caleb Williams had played in that bowl game that everybody points to, he would have went out there and thrown 6 touchdowns as well, maybe 8. He would have lit that team up as well. And there's just too much good tape. Now, there are a lot of questions about Caleb Williams. I think the biggest one that really started to catch fire on Thursday night was the medical thing. Like, hey, he's not sending his medicals to everybody. This is something that I kind of wish that more prospects did. especially if you're the presumptive number one pick. Now, there is no way that you're going to be drafted by the Chicago Bears without doing some sort of physical, without getting the medicals, without getting the height and weight and everything. Ryan Poles is going to have all this information. But at the same time, think about this. Think back to what Pro Football Talk just said about, hey, they condolences to all these teams. Like, why do you give that information out to the other teams? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Caleb Williams already knows that he's going to Chicago, why would we give out that information? Have you ever, that's the thing. Like, yeah, if you still want to share it with the Commanders, with the Patriots, because we're trying to swing a deal, maybe the Atlanta Falcons, fine. But if you're content and you're like, yeah, we're taking them, like, why don't you just do an in-house evaluation? I actually kind of prefer this. And I think that more players should start having some ownership of the way that they're treated going into the draft process. I think this is actually kind of a bigger conversation that we can have over the course of a number of years is like, yeah, like the players have been kind of treated like it's a cattle call. Like it's a beauty pageant. Like Tom Brady, his combine picture has been floating on the internet for the last 25 years or however long it's been. Yeah, it's close to 25 years now.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's not fair. Like, that sucks. Tom Brady standing there in his underwear is now, you could go Google this right now and find it. Why wouldn't a player? I think more players should start following Caleb Williams' lead. As a matter of fact, if I was Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't know. And I think, you know, again, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably in a very similar situation where people can be like, well, Malik Nabers might be better. Roma Dunze might be better. Like, okay, fine. But at the same time, you should be able to kind of have a little bit of ownership of that stuff. So when I hear the news reports that Caleb Williams is not offering up his medicals to everybody, I'm kind of like, good, don't. I don't need the Vikings having that information. I don't need the Lions having that information. Definitely don't need the Packers need. Why would the Packers need that? You're not drafting a quarterback. You're not drafting Caleb Williams. Why do you need his medicals? Why don't you chill out? I kind of applaud it. So again, this was a thing, and this is why it's getting so troublesome. As we're going through all of this, is like, we have to have these, like, crying out loud. I want to sit there and I want to catch up on Angels baseball or whatever it is. I want to talk about Ted Lasso or make jokes about the band Rancid and the Distillers, which a lot of people missed the joke, what I was getting at a couple of days ago. But in any event, like, I'm tired of these conversations. Hold on. Let me send, I'm sending a note to Braggs again. Being like, hey, they sent it. They said they sent it. You know, the wireless in Indianapolis, not quite. This is why the combine needs to move around. And if we can get him on, we'll have him on. Again, he was the one in the room asking a lot of the questions. And I thought it was cool, too. One of the things that I really liked is that he showed up at Jerry Rice's son. Like, he showed up at his press conference. Caleb Williams started asking questions. Hey, what does it feel like, you know, being Jerry Rice's son and all that stuff? I think it kind of shows a camaraderie. And again, I think this goes back to some of the narratives that have been surrounding Caleb Williams over the last number of years of, you know, he's a bad guy. He's a bad character guy. He's got all these questions. And again, I told this story on a previous show and I'll reiterate it here is like being at the Super Bowl. And I was taking a tram from Mandalay Bay to the not Luxor, well, you go by the Luxor, but Excalibur, some guy is like, yeah, I'm worried about his character. And I'm like, what? Do you follow USC? Are you a big college fan? No, you're hearing this secondhand. It's like the Pop Rock story with the cola. When I was a little kid, there was a story going around that some kid in a town three cities over died from ingesting Pop Rocks and Coca-Cola. And by the way, this was before the internet. Like, I don't know how these stories spread. That's kind of the way these things happen with poor Caleb Williams, is maybe like, hey, bad character. Bad? Who? Who is saying that he's a bad character guy? Where is one of his former teammates saying that he's a bad character guy? Where's somebody that he played against him in college? One of his rivals? You don't hear any of that stuff. Now, some people don't like that he gets a manicure or whatever it is. There was also the questions about him going up into the stands and talking to his mother. And I think that was one of the questions that Braggs asked, was about the emotion, you know, and Braggs and our friend Draft Dr. Phil have talked about this too, about being emotionally available. And on one respect, you know, there is something to be said about being emotionally vulnerable to your teammates that allows you to connect. You know, people are different. Kids are different. You know, I'm sitting here right now going through, you know, stuff with my kids going through school and realizing how much different kids are today than they are, you know, they were like, you know, when I was growing up. You know, all my daughter's friends hug each other like hard. Like, I don't think I ever hugged a classmate outside of a school dance my entire school life. And now these kids hug it. Like, it's just way different. And Caleb even addressed those things too, talking about running into the stands and talking to his mother. I loved his answer where he said, look at, you know, like, there are not a lot of people in this world who understand what I go through or what I've been through or what I am going through. And it was an honest, refreshing answer. Like, yeah, like, there, we don't know. We don't know what that's like. We don't know what the pressure is like for these kids playing big time college football. And even the fact that college football has changed over the last number of years, you know, like, yeah, you'd be like, well, you know, Matt Leinart didn't act like this. Pat Hayden didn't act like this. Carson Palmer didn't act like this. Mark Sanchez. Those guys were in completely different situations, because now we're in an era of NIL where players are getting endorsement deals and they're able to cash in like that. And there is really, you know, it's much different for these guys moving forward or from now on, you know, like, there's different things you have to answer to. So things that a lot of these SC quarterbacks or just college football quarterbacks in general didn't have to deal with in the past are now in the forefront. I mean, the college football, these players are more visible than ever being out there. And again, we're still trying to track down our friend Greg Braggs, who is out there, you know, interviewing, doing his thing. Really, really excited for him and the job that he's been able to do. And our friends over at CHGO who have been there over the last couple of days, getting all these great interviews. And to the point now, too, this is one of the things that I've seen a lot too, and I want to address this, because I know our friend Jacob Infante was bringing this up the other day, because this was a tweet, or this was something that was going on where Dan Orlovsky was on First Take talking about perhaps, you know, that Jaden Daniels should be the pick. And this is one of those things, again, the joke that I make about Jaden Daniels and Drake May especially, where it's like, hey, like, maybe, like, we're not going down this road again. We are not going down the road of, like, this is the number one guy. This is the, you know, and you talk about this, and I know it hasn't really worked out as well for Trevor Lawrence as we would have liked. But at the same time, look at what Joe Burrow has done for the Cincinnati Bengals. He got them to the Super Bowl, like, almost immediately. And he fought through some injuries, you know? And so there is a real sense that Caleb Williams could be that guy who comes in and does that. And why are we messing around with Jaden Daniels and Drake May or anybody? No, it's for me, and I've said this all along, as somebody who supports Justin Fields, it's Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. Those are the only two options. And again, I will support whomever is the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears to start the 2024 season. We do have a lot of faith in the guys who have been leading this program over the last number of years to kind of get that done. But at the same time, it's got to be Caleb. Caleb Williams is that dude. Like, he is the Joe Burrow type. I think he's more Joe Burrow than he was Trevor Lawrence, but that's just me. And again, you know, just talking to people who are doing this. And whenever you see somebody on the television show or any television show being like, hey, I think that perhaps, and this quarterback could change over the next number of weeks. I would actually consider, because I think going back to last season, and I would have to check, and I'm shooting from the hip, and I might be talking out of my rear end on this one, but I almost can assure you that there was probably somebody who was like, hey, like, should Will Levis be the number one quarterback? And that, like, stop it. And you got to be kidding me. No, that had nothing to do with Braggs. I still working on it. But in any event, don't listen to the noise. Like, it is, if the Bears are keeping the number one overall pick, and I guess, like, Caleb Williams is going first overall, I guess we should just say that. Maybe the Bears do move down. Maybe Ryan pulls his move to, like, yeah, we're going to get so much draft capital moving Caleb Williams. Perhaps we move down just an extra spot. Fair enough. Like, if you got to do that, fine, so be it. I would just stick with Caleb Williams. And again, I thought that everything that we saw today from him leads us to believe that he is the guy. He was personable. He was, you know, again, showing support for his teammates, moving around. I think the biggest question now is obviously what happens with Justin Fields. You know, there are reports, again, as assumed as it is, that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. It also feels a fait accompli that Justin Fields is going to the Atlanta Falcons and what that could mean. And I did see there was somebody, I think it was some former Packer, who was talking about, like, yeah, you know, like, some guys just get have to do a restart. And he threw out Drew Brees as an example of, like, yeah, nobody talks about Drew Brees' time with the San Diego Chargers. I'm like, I talk about it all the time. LT and I, every time I see LT, and to the point that LT hates that I keep bringing it up, like, hey, man, what if we, because again, like, that was, I've mentioned it on this show too. It's like, what if the Chargers, instead of going with Eli Manning, who was flipped for Phillip Rivers, what if they had just gone out there and said, you know what? We're going to take Larry Fitzgerald and go with Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, and LaDainian Tomlinson. Does that team win a Super Bowl at some point? They keep Marty Schottenheimer. Do they get to a Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know if Sean Merriman still ends up in San Diego under this scenario, because I know there was a lot of things that might have been a pick that they got. You don't get Nate Kading. So in any event, but I do think too, there's something, but in any event, if Justin Fields ends up going on to play for the Atlanta Falcons, it'll be like when I saw, because I did like Drew Brees, and I did, you know, everything being transparent, I did have Chargers season tickets at some point just because I love LaDainian Tomlinson so much. And, you know, living in Southern California, they were the only football team around. I think it was one of the years they played the Bears in one of those years too. I think you know, it could be a very similar situation where he goes down there and plays as well as we think that he's going to play, you know, play. I mean, I know they keep talking about the weapons, like, oh, he's going to have Drake London. I'm like, DJ Moore's better. They have Kyle Pitts. I'm like, you can't tell me. Like, I want Kyle Pitts on the Bears, so I'm not going to besmirch Kyle Pitts, but I think that Cole Kmet has been used more effectively than Kyle Pitts has over the last couple of years. Like, that's an argument I will have right now. Like, Kyle Pitts is an athletic freak, but Cole Kmet has been, you know, the guy. You know what? Let's talk about this too. So I hope that Justin Fields as well. This is, I just thought of this because one of my editors sent this to me, or said this to me today. Gail on the Twitter also said the same thing to me. And I just want to make sure I'm not missing, like, we're not missing Braggs in the lunch line, are we? We're like, we're not making him just watch this. If he comes on, just put him on immediately. If we get this sorted out, if not, no big deal. We'll catch up with him later. I have to speak on this, and this can be part of something that you can cut off, Sammy. We can put this on Instagram at some point, but here's my thing. Stop saying, well, I hope the Bears don't ruin another. No, this is a completely different organization. Everything in the past that has happened doesn't matter anymore, to the point that Caleb Williams himself said, I don't care about the past. I'm here about starting my own future. And that's the way that we really have to approach this. Look at the Houston Texans. Look at how many quarterbacks they have ruined over their entire franchise history. Okay? Starting with David Carr. They ruined that poor man. David Carr could be somebody that could have been an all-pro quarterback had he gone to the right situation. Had Green Bay drafted him and held him behind Brett Favre, he could have gone on to have a great career. Matt Schaub, Deshaun Watson kind of did it to himself. But again, how many quarterbacks have failed for the Houston Texans? And then look what happened this season with C.J. Stroud. There is no reason to believe that the same thing cannot happen for the Chicago Bears this year with Caleb Williams.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Bears, this is a brand new organization. Ryan Poles has been on the job for a couple of years. Is Braggs on? Because I know we're running out of time. Let's get him on real quick. Dude, thank you so much. Sorry for the everything that's going on. How are you, first of all?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Before I ask you any question about Caleb Williams, I want to talk about you asking questions at the scouting combine. I want to tell you right now, first and foremost, and I should say this to the end, but I want to make sure that I get it in. I am so proud of you. It gives me such a great feeling that when I hear your voice, and your voice is distinguished, you know, it's you asking it. It makes me so proud. And I love the fact too, that you're Braggs. Like, you're not like, think about this. Like, I'm Rank, you're Braggs. You got to be a certain somebody to be the one name person. Like, you're not Mark Carmen. You're not Adam Hodge.
Like Cher
and Sting. So I am proud of the work. What was it? Do you get nervous when you're sitting there asking Caleb Williams questions, or are you over it now?
Well, it was nice that he was the third person up at the podium. You know, you had Jaden Daniels to start, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. was supposed to go, and then something happened where he wasn't able to come out, but then Drake May was after him, and then Caleb came. And so if Caleb was the first guy out the gates, I probably wouldn't have liked that. Because, yeah, I do get nervous. You got to shake the rust off. But once I get going, once I get in a little bit of a rhythm, then you can't get me to shut up. And I think if anybody watched the press conferences today, you could see that, because I just get excited and I want to keep talking. Over my shoulder, I got Waddle and Sylvie over there. And, you know, for a long time, I was just a guy that called into radio stations. And, you know, all I'd do is just wait on hold. Sometimes I'd wait for like 2 hours to get on and say my thought. And I'd get myself so wound up that when it was ready for me to talk, I would just black out and completely forget what I was supposed to say. And then people would say, well, what did you say on the show? And I was like, I honestly can't remember. And so sometimes that's what happens. I obviously try to be a little more calculated, and I did put a lot of thought into what I wanted my first question to be, but then it turns into trying to listen to what they're saying and try to come up with good questions based off of some of their answers as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Today was a big day, and I've been thinking about this day for a long time now. And it was fun to try to execute some of the vision I had.
Yeah, it was an amazing job. I'm curious as to what you thought being in the room with Caleb Williams. I've been talking about this over the course of the show already, is that I was really impressed by the way he presented himself, the way he spoke. What were your impressions being in the room with him?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see the confidence he carries himself with, you know, and it, you know, it's a swagger, you know, do some people look at that and think it's borderline arrogance? Maybe, but there's a fine line between confidence, swagger, and arrogance. They all kind of blend together, right? And so, you know, guys like that, that, you know, have a lot of confidence, some are going to have a little arrogance. I have a little arrogance. I think very highly of myself. So, you know, I think that's within all of us. But at the end of the day, what really stood out was the first guy out the gate. I'm not really sure who he was. I know he was promoting his question on Twitter, but Caleb Williams steps to the podium and says, "Good morning." And before he can even finish the sentence, there's a guy drilling him about, you know, maybe not being scared to match up with his measurables and, yeah, you know, his, you know, and go out and do that. And so it was, you know, when you're in these kind of environments, typically some tough questions might come, but right out the gate like that, right as he's saying good morning, the guy doesn't even respond back to, you know, say like, "Hey, good morning to you," or whatever, just right into it, throw him the hardest, you know, the fastball, hardball you can possibly question you can give him. And Caleb just took it in stride, completely rolled off his shoulder, smiled it through, answered the question, and then moved on to the Chicago media, who was giving him a lot of Chicago angled questions. And that showed his poise, I think, right out the gate. It didn't throw him off his game at all. And then from there, I just think, you know, he wants to win. You know, he talks a lot about, it's not about the money or the fame. He wants the glory. He wants to be immortal. He wants to have, you know, greatness attached to his name when his career is all said and done. So those words all sound great, but let's, you know, when he gets to the NFL, let's see him put that into fruition, you know, and it does seem like he'd be willing to come to Chicago. I didn't hear anything beyond that. You know, his eyes did light up when he was asked about Washington. There's no question about that. It's his hometown. You know, if you brought up my hometown of Crown Point, Indiana, my eyes would probably light up too. But at the end of the day, I think he's, you know, I think he's comfortable with the idea of coming to Chicago. So that's, as a Bears fan, that's something we all really needed to hear. I want my players to want to play in the city that I love.
Were you trying to bait him into making a Michael Jordan type comparison?
100%. Well, he did an interview earlier in the week, you know, with Pete Thamel from The Athletic, and he mentioned, you know, he hit all the buttons with Michael Jordan, Walter Payton, deep dish pizza, you know, and they prep him for that, I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, he does think very highly of himself and talks about being immortalized. And so, you know, to that extent, when you talk about Michael Jordan and the impact he had on the sports world, and he put Chicago on the map in a lot of ways. You know, I know the 85 Bears did as well. It was a great time to be a Bears fan back then. The Bears win the Super Bowl and draft Michael Jordan in the same year. Not a bad year for Chicago.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at 30 years later, kids are still wearing his shoes. Like we went to the Pacers game the other day. Pacers fans are wearing Jordans. And Mark Carmen, my co-host, goes, "Hey, you're a Pacer, you're wearing Jordans, he's your daddy, he's your daddy." And the guys just started laughing. And that's the kind of impact, immortal impact, you can have if you succeed in the city of Chicago. So 100%, I wanted to double down and hear his thoughts about, does he want to be the Michael Jordan of football? Because at the end of the day, our standard for quarterback play in the city isn't, it's not a high bar.
No.
You know, we're here supporting Justin Fields. You know, very talented quarterback, but he's anything, you know, he's far from perfect. Nobody's
well, like we're coming off playoff bursts. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so if Caleb Williams is 75% of the hype he's, you know, being made out to be right now, they'll be building statues of him before he's done playing, like Caitlin Clark outside the Hawkeyes stadium. Like, you know, it's that's the trajectory he can be on if he lives up to the expectations, even just falls, you know, even like I said, 75% of the expectations being thrusted on him right now.
Yeah, going back to that point, I'm always shocked when I see like a Pistons fan wearing Jordan stuff. Like, I think you might need to take a little bit of a history lesson. Like, go get your Grant Hills or your Lame Beers or Thurman Thomas, Isaiah Thomas type of stuff. I do. It's funny.
There's some players that transcend that, right? I mean, to me as a kid, I was a diehard Bears fan, but I loved Deion Sanders. I loved Barry Sanders. You know,
100%. Barry Sanders is like the perfect example of that.
And how many kids around the country love Devin Hester? Just got in the Hall of Fame. It didn't matter if they were a Bears fan or not. He was so special that he was – that's immortalization, to transcend the teams we root for and the rooting diehard interest we have and appreciate greatness when you see it.
Yeah, and you want it to be – actually, you want it to go back the other way too. Like when you look at Patrick Mahomes, like people are now starting to not like him because he's been too successful. Like you want to be in that sort of situation too. Where it's like, you know, you're so good now people don't like you. Right. And rooting against you, like, because you know the first time that we get to the playoffs, and if we get to the playoffs with Caleb Williams, people are like, hey, we're rooting for this. I wanted to get to the point where you're like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the Bears constantly in the Super Bowl doing all that stuff.
And I think he's arrived to that point as a college prospect, right? Yeah, I mean, there's total prospect fatigue when it comes to Caleb Williams. He's been in the spotlight for 3 years now, 2.5 years. He won the Heisman last year. And so all this year has been about that. Like I said, the guy with the first question about, oh, are you scared to do this, that, and the other, you know, this is a guy that has been one of the most highly touted prospects, and now he's getting hardball questions, and it's about his painted nails. It's about how he cries with his parents in the stands. It's how he answers questions at the podium. So people are starting to look and pick things apart, because at the end of the day, he's been the darling of the ball for 2 years now. So I think from a college level, he's already reached that. We're sick of him. Now we're going to nitpick. It's to me a bit of prospect fatigue.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why they continue to talk glowingly about players like Jaden Daniels, because he has not been in the spotlight as long as Caleb Williams. So give Orlovsky 2 more months, and he might start saying that Jaden Daniels is a last to arrive, first leave, or whatever you said about Justin Fields back in the day. I do want to ask, though, now, if I didn't know any better, I know that the Angels beat reporter Sam Blum's in Tempe, so he couldn't have been the person asking that ridiculous question to lead off the press conference for Caleb Williams. What do you make of this? I said before you came on, like, I'm actually, like, if the Bears are committed to Caleb Williams and they know, like, we're going to measure him anyways, like, I kind of like that he's not giving out the, like, we don't need the Packers having that information. Where do you stand in the whole, like, medical records debate?
Well, I know just talking with some people that are traditionalist NFL people, been in the league for a long time, I think they're rubbed the wrong way by it. He's reinventing the wheel here. You know, he's doing something that nobody's ever done before. And I think that's, you know, what we're seeing now with a lot of college athletes kind of taking control of their own brand and everything, like from NIL to everything else. And now with this and the medicals, I think there is logic to it. Like, why does every team need to have your medicals, you know, when you're not going to be employed by them? It's, you know, at the end of the day, now, would you be, you know, when a player gets hurt after he signs with the Bears, are you sharing that medical? Are those medicals with the other teams in the league? Are we keeping everybody up to date as the career continues? No. So, but you get it before. Well, you know, I do see the logic to it. You know, it'd be more of a concern if he wasn't giving them to anybody. That'd be a huge red flag. But he's not doing that. He's going to give it to the teams that are taking him in for visits that have a realistic shot to draft him. Now, you can make the argument, well, hey, anybody could trade up for him. So, you know, that, I guess, is the other side of it. But, you know, and I don't have as much of an issue with it, but I have found it interesting talking to some people where they're like, you know, I don't like hearing that.
It's mostly old people though, right? Like old people.
Yeah, it's all old people.
Old people whose careers depend on the combine. Like that thing, the event is never going to go away because the NFL makes money on it and they need program hours for the NFL network. So it's never going away. And we're going to get to the point eventually too, where it's going to get shipped out to other cities and other towns are going to bid on it, especially ones that are not in the Super Bowl mix. So like, it's not going away, but I said earlier, like, I'm happy if Caleb Williams is our quarterback and all these other teams don't have his medicals. I feel very comfortable with it. And it's something that I can live with.
Well, the Vikings, I think, are one of the teams interviewing him, right? So like, they're going to get the medicals. I'm pretty sure the Vikings inquired about Caleb, so I'm not sure if they're getting the medicals or not. I don't want the Vikings getting the medicals, but
yeah, I don't want it. Yeah, like, we're not trading you to Minnesota. Don't even take that meeting. Like, yeah. I wish there was a way you could kind of shut that. Like, nope, don't meet with them. Don't meet with them. Don't meet with Detroit. Like, we're not trading the number one pick to them. You're fine. Like, you could almost, like, I would give them, like, a kind of a, like, all right, go ahead and talk to Washington. Who knows? I wouldn't anticipate trade. What is your sense, though? Being there, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I know you've been very busy. Actually, I know Sammy and Nell, they got other podcasts to do. I do want to close with this, though. And again, thank you so much for joining us here at the last moment. I know I threw this at you at the last second.
No, it's no problem at all.
I will ask you, as you're walking around, because like Pro Football Talk tweeted out this thing, like, we feel bad for the Vikings and Lions and Packers. The Bears are going to have their best quarterback from Sid Luckman. Does it feel like as you're walking around Indianapolis and everybody in the football world is there, does it just feel like it's automatic that Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears?
You know, Wednesday and Thursday, it felt like it was imminent that Fields could get traded. You know, and when that article came out and, you know, when Ryan Poles spoke to the media on Tuesday, Matt Eberflus did as well. And some of the quotes coming from those, I think it started to pick up steam. There started to be some rumors about Atlanta. Then all of a sudden DraftKings takes, you know, the who, where Fields will go off the board. I think that moved the needle for some people that follow that kind of thing. And so it felt like we were like on standby, even at night when we were out, like this could happen at any moment. Now, all of a sudden today, like I said, it's like, you know, people just kind of get tired of saying the same thing. Now, all of a sudden today, some of the things I've been hearing walking around are, you know, maybe the Bears might draft Jaden Daniels. Maybe the Bears might draft J.J. McCarthy. You know, the Bears aren't 100% done on their evaluation with Caleb Williams, so this still may take some time. Those are different things, you know, floating around, you know, the circles here on Media Row at the Combine. So, you know, they spent 15 minutes with him. If you watch Tom Pelissero's little stand-up interview, you know, they only got 15 minutes with him. Caleb said at the podium, you know, 10 minutes, we're not going to learn that much from each other as far as who they are as an organization and people in the Bears and who Caleb is as a person for the Bears to evaluate. So I think there's still more of an evaluation process to go. And how does that coincide with free agency coming up in 2 weeks? The pro day won't be for another three and a half weeks. So will they have enough information at that point to feel confident enough to pull the trigger on a trade for Justin Fields, or will this take a little longer? I think we're still at a evaluation standpoint, but I think if you polled most of the people in here, the smart money is that Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear. I mean, at the end of the day, if you just look at it from a logical standpoint, everything this guy has done on the field, you know, there isn't many red flags when it comes to who he is as a person. Every single teammate or every single person that's played against him that came to these podiums and was asked about Caleb Williams said nothing but glowing things. Caleb Williams was in the press area interviewing one of his former teammates, you know, from the crowd. And the interaction, you could just see how much they loved each other. I talked to Marshawn Lloyd, the running back for USC. I asked him, is it weird to have, or like, what is the dynamic of having a teammate that has a brand as big as Caleb Williams? And he said, hey, when he eats, we all eat. We love Caleb Williams. So, you know, I just think, you know, these guys support him. I think it sounds like he's a good teammate, a good leader. I don't think it's window dressing that his friends are putting on for him. I think it's a real thing. So you add that with the talent that he's shown on the field, it logically, at some point, Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear on April 25th or whatever day the first round of the draft is.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, it's interesting that you bring up, like, obviously Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's Caleb Williams to the Bears. Then people start, again, the programming notes like, hey, let's switch it up a little bit. Anybody willing to talk Jaden Daniels? And then Dan Orlovsky, I'll talk about him. Like, I liked him during the season. And then like, okay, well then go out and say this. It reminds me of being at the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago, like flying into Las Vegas on Tuesday night, like committed to the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And then by the time we got to Saturday, you go through the ringer so much, it's like, I think the 49, like there's a vibe check here. So I think it's very similar out there as well, that like, as you go through the week and you're tired of saying the same thing over and over again, and a producer is like, hey, how do we kick this? How do we keep this story going? Because, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, well, why would somebody continue to watch a show where you're just repeating what you said on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of keep it fresh. And it's always a problem that I always run into, because I know that I repeat myself a lot, being like, I'm a Justin Fields guy, but I can react to new information, which is what I'm trying to do. And I think that I'm being as fair as possible. Similarly, I think some of these talking heads are like, well, I'll talk Jaden Daniels and like, we'll run B-roll of him. And we haven't talked him before. And who wants to talk about Drake May, and who wants to do this? And what about JJ McCarthy? And there's so many different ways to kind of do this. So in any event, like that's what happens. Before you go, I lied. I'm going to do one more, because I was addressing this when you came on, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, because even from Bears fans, and even from an editor of mine who is a Bears fan, of like, oh, they're just going to screw up another quarterback. I sort of rebuked that. And I use the Texans as an example last year of like, you look at the quarterbacks the Texans have ruined. Like, every quarterback in Texans history had been ruined up until CJ Stroud.
Right.
When you hear people be like, I don't want the Bears to ruin another quarterback, what is your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, it would be so Bears to get this wrong when it's right in front of your face. But, you know, Shane Marsall, you know, our guy from the Tape Never Lies Network, I thought he said it perfectly. And he said this to me. He goes, the Bears are always one pick short of greatness. You know, we missed out on Aaron Donald by one pick. All due respect to Kyle Fuller, but we missed him.
Oh, 100%. I've never been more upset in my life. I scared, because I was doing NFL red carpet stuff, and Megan Collins' style girlfriend, who I was working with, was frightened about how upset I was that we didn't end up with Aaron Donald. But I digress.
I had a draft party at my house, and I shut the party down over it. And people did not understand why until one day Aaron Donald's pointing at his ring finger, winning a Super Bowl. We lost a coin flip for Terry Bradshaw once upon a time. You know, a lot of young Bears fans don't know that, but that was.
Then we ended up with Walter Payton.
Well, but I'm just saying, not in the first round, right?
Maybe, whatever. Yeah, we lost a coin flip for Terry Bradshaw.
You know, and whatever. I mean, but still, to the point of like just the flip of the coin. I mean, it's the perfect analogy, and that's what it is. And the Bears obviously overthought the process with Mitch Trubisky, and we've just always been a day late and a dollar short when it comes to having a player fall in our laps like this. And the miracle that we were presented by Lovie Smith last year to get the number one pick last year, and then to parlay that into the number one pick this year, and it turned into, you know, an opportunity for the Bears to select a quarterback that's a quarterback prospect that's as highly touted as very many, you know, great quarterbacks that have came into this league from a coaching tree that's had the likes of Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts come from the same coaching tree into the league. So, you know, I think there's an idea that it does translate. So this is a rare opportunity of luck that the Bears finally had fall their way. And I am excited for the future of this team and the opportunity that's been given to them. So I like to live in a world of positivity, and, you know, I'm not going to hedge my bet by being cynical enough to say, well, it's the Bears and they'll screw this up no matter what. No, this time we're going to get it right. And I'm excited for the future of the Chicago Bears.
That was really well put. And again, I want to thank you for coming on in short notice and joining us here today. Great insight. How much longer are you going to be there in Indianapolis?
I'm going to stay here for tomorrow. The rest of my crew, they're on the road back home to Chicago. Yeah. And I'm staying here for the offensive line guys tomorrow morning.
Oh, good. I'm
going to talk to Olufoshinu, Joe Alden, try to circle around some centers to see who we can recruit to get to the Bears. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We're going to finish the week strong. But yeah, it's a good day. You talk to the quarterbacks, you talk to Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze and Brian Thomas. I'm a big Roma Dunze fan. And same. If he were to fall to 9, I really think the Bears would be a very lucky organization to have that kind of player at 9. So those are some of the things we're looking at. So yeah, we'll be talking about it at CSU Bears, as you always know. So, you know, we're putting out a lot of different content. We will throughout the weekend of some of the things we've talked to, some of the players we've talked to and stuff. So, you know, I always appreciate you having me on. Always going to carve out time for you.
Oh, you're too kind.
And thank you again. No, and thank you again for the kind words to start. It's very exciting to have this opportunity, and CHGO Sports was gracious enough to give me that opportunity. So I'm going to do everything I can to make the most of it. That's for sure.
Well, thank you so much. Again, very proud of you. Continue the good work. We'll check in with we'll continue to watch you through tomorrow as you go find us a center, maybe another offensive lineman, maybe a guard, whomever. But in any event, thanks so much for being here. And we'll go ahead and close out the show there. He's Braggs. I'm Rank. Sammy, go ahead and play us out and bear down.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.